podcast.
Many of us know Travelling Tabby as the absolute essential source of COVID-19 data during the pandemic. Not many people maybe know that Travelling Tabby started as a travel blog written by John Frace. And John has been awarded an MBE for his work on public health communications as a result of the COVID information that he published all through the pandemic. And I'm privileged to be able to speak to the man behind the famous website that was used by, I think, a third of the Scottish population during the pandemic. So here's John talking about how it came about, how he feels about his MBE, and what might be in store next.
Okay, so with me, the famous Travelling Tabby, actually in person. So people might not know, John, that it's you behind the website. I know it's one that I relied on heavily during COVID. It's where my husband would check first thing in the morning what the COVID figures were. But it started as a travel website, I think, and then you went onto the data. So tell people about how it came about and then how it sort of evolved.
So the actual Travelling Tabby website itself, that started during a course I was doing back in 2018, which was a HNC in digital design and web development. We got recommended during that course that we should create our own website or blog just to put some of the skills we were learning into practice. And I figured that I love cats and I love traveling, so I'd create a cat-themed travel blog. It was just a bit of fun, really, but I worked on it over the next couple of years, and then around the start of 2020, it was just about ready to launch and get made public, which, you know, I still think is the worst time in history to have launched a travel blog. So after that, it kind of got a new purpose as a website which kept track of all the COVID-19 data. Obviously, that wasn't what it was built to be, but when the pandemic started sort of gaining traction in Scotland, I was just keeping track of all the figures myself in a spreadsheet, and I was sharing screenshots of that online. And people were finding it quite useful because I was trying to lay out the data in a more sort of visual way that told the story of how things were progressing every day. And someone recommended that I host the screenshots I was sharing of it on the website so they could visit every day. And I sort of just took the next step after that and created a complete web page for it, which I kept building on every day, trying to make as sort of informative as possible. And it sort of grew into what it is now.
So, I mean, I know people, my sense of people found your data really accessible in the way that you presented it. But I mean, it's quite something to transition from a travel website to that. Have you got background in statistics and maths and things like that? Because it certainly looks like it.
No, not at all. The only reason I made it as a page on my travel blog was because I didn't think it would get many views. I didn't think it was worth investing in a separate domain name and hosting it on its own websites. I thought it would only get like a few hundred views. But as for the actual background on it, no, not at all. I didn't even do higher maths in school. I wasn't very good at maths. I'd never done any, you know, statistics or public health either. It was just, I'd done sort of graphic design as a hobby, so the design aspects I knew a bit more about, but the actual sort of data analysis stuff, no.
But you obviously hit on something, because that you've obviously must have some insight in terms of how, looking at it from a sort of an observer, because I know it really sort of captured people's imagination. And how many views did you end up having? Have you kept the stats and things of how many people were using your site?
Yeah, so since the start, I've had 30 million views on it.
Wow.
I think that's about 2.5 million unique visitors. And, you know, I don't know how accurately the tracking of it is, but it says that I've had 1.7 million unique visitors from Scotland, which is about a third of the country. But as for just people finding that accessible, I think me not having a background in statistics or anything actually helped that.
Yeah.
Like, if I could understand the figures that I was putting on clearly, then I thought just about anyone could. You know, I couldn't understand some of the more complex modeling or anything like that. I was trying to make it simple to a way that I could easily understand it. And if I could do that, then I thought anyone in Scotland could.
That's some feat that you've obviously tapped into that, of what people wanted to get that information. And I mean, how much time were you spending on it? Because it looks like there was a lot of work behind the scenes to build all of that and keep it updated and things.
Yeah, so for most of 2020 and about the first half of 2021, I think I was spending about 30 to 40 hours a week on it. So it was pretty much a full-time job at that point, which was really quite difficult to manage because I was studying full-time as well. I think throughout the whole pandemic, I spent almost 3,000 hours on it.
Wow.
But yeah, it's quite a lot.
That's what comes from lockdown. And
yeah, thankfully, it's a lot less time consuming now.
Yeah, because people might not realise it's still going. You can still get the up-to-date figures on the site, can't you?
Yeah, it's still there. Well, I was looking at the views recently and they're down quite a bit. At the peak, I was getting about 700,000 visitors a week or views a week, and now it's down to about 15,000 a week. So some people think I might be sad about that, but I'm not, because that's sort of representing where we're at in the pandemic. It's not quite so dominant anymore. It's just nice.
Yeah, it's good news that it's waning, and
yeah.
Deservedly so. You've got an MBE from the Queen for your work. How did that feel when you got word that you were being awarded the MBE?
No, I was completely shocked by it. I'm still shocked by it. It's been a couple of months, or a few months now since I've had it. And I feel the same as when I first got it. Just, how did this happen? Especially for, I think it's, the exact reason is for public health communications during COVID-19. Like, if you had told me a few years ago I'd have that, I'd be completely shocked.
Oh, well, I think it's well deserved, because I know so many people that used it, and so many people, you know, I know even in the council here, we would recommend it as a source of trusted information. And have you got your medal yet, or is that still to come?
No, not yet. I think that will come early next year, maybe in March or April. It's an investiture I'll get it at. I believe it will be in either Buckingham Palace or Windsor Castle, but I'm not too sure yet.
Oh, that will be a fantastic event, though.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Experience. Absolutely fantastic. I think it's so well deserved. And not to mention, as you said, you were studying at the same time. So you were saying you've just completed your bachelor degree in business management and marketing. So that to come as well, with a graduation coming up, I think.
Yeah, the graduation will be the 23rd of September in Dunoon. I found out that I won Student of the Year at my college again this year, the second year in a row, and it's like crazy.
Fantastic. You're going to have the most amazing CV, John, of being able to show your sort of skills in action of the with the creation of the website and things. That must be a big step forward of, if you plans what you're going to go on and do next?
So since I started my degree a few years ago, I was wanting to go on sort of a long sort of backpacking year trip after I graduate. That's been pushed back till next year because the pandemic's still making travel quite difficult, but I'm still hoping to go on that. In terms of jobs, I'm really not sure though. I think one of the issues is that you said the CV will probably look so good after all this, but like the actual skills aren't actually there. I've had people approach me for job offers for like data analyst roles and that sort of thing, and I don't really meet any of the sort of job requirements for it. Like, I don't have the math skills, I don't know how to do the coding, and the website seems a lot more impressive than it actually is what I think.
Oh, don't think you should play down the skills of being able to take complex information and display it in an understandable way is no mean feat in my experience. So I'm sure there'll be lots of opportunities to try and put that skill into practice.
Thank you.
So you said I think it says on your website that you have an obsession for travel, and you started traveling abroad and things, and that's why you created the blog. What sort of trips got you sort of really hooked on the travel bug?
So the very first one, I've never traveled solo before or anything like that. And then I think it was I think maybe 22nd birthday. I had a few days off work and it was a really nice weekend. And I thought, I need to do something this weekend to celebrate my birthday, because the last 2 years I just stayed at home and not did anything. So I ended up booking a last minute trip up to Oban, which isn't too far from Dunoon, but I got to take the train up. And then I went on a tour to see Iona and Staffa. And it was just such a nice weekend that I completely fell in love with it. And like a few months after that, I ended up booking a week-long trip to Barcelona. And I love that. And then that led to a 4-month long trip where I went across the USA and saw parts of China as well.
Wow.
And I loved that. And then I just started thinking I needed to go on a really long-term trip after I graduate. So I've been saving up and planning for that since then.
And what do you plan to do with that backpacking trip? Are you going to try and do a big tour of lots of countries? Have you got a plan in mind?
I should have more of a plan than I do right now, but I'm sort of working it out right now. I want to try and visit all the continents and see sort of the highlights of each one. Maybe Antarctica, but it's cost a fortune to go there, so I'm not sure about that. But yeah, I'm going to start planning out a lot more, then hopefully leave in spring of next year, and I'll put my travel blog into more travel use.
And so are you going to use it? Will we be able to follow you on your travels and see your exploits?
Yeah, definitely. I think the travel blog's been live for maybe 3 years now. I've made one post on it. So I'm actually going to start using it, maybe updating it with my journey. Of course, posting it on social media as well. I'm excited for it.
Oh, I mean, it sounds fantastic. I love that a trip to Oban and Iona and Staffa has inspired you to get as far as China. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it does that. I think Argyll and Bute, like when there's a nice sunny day out, there's as beautiful as anywhere else on the planet. It makes you want to get out more, see everything.
Certainly encourages adventurers, I think. What's the most amazing thing you've seen on your travels so far? What's been the highlight?
Kind of hard to answer. I think maybe the most unique place I've been is to China. When we went there, it was with my dad and my stepmom. My stepmom's originally from China, so we went with her. She said she wanted to take us to our hometown, the small town. When she says small town, I was thinking like Dunoon or Lochgilphead. Then we get there and there's skyscrapers in the town. But I guess for Chinese standards, that is a small town. It's only got 1 million people in it.
Wow.
That was really exciting. Completely different culture. I think I was the outsider there. I had people waving at me and taking photos and asking if I could take photos of their children. You know, groups of school children were screaming at me when they saw me. I felt like a celebrity there. It was fun.
Yeah, very, very different culture, different scale by the sounds of it, if their town is a million people compared to anything we see in Argyll.
Yeah, I was looking at a list earlier of their 50 biggest cities. I think their 50th biggest one's got like 2 million people in it.
Wow.
Glasgow's only 500,000. That's our biggest.
Yeah, very different scale. And so the travel writing is going to come up. Are you going to keep up the data that's in the COVID part of the website? Have you any ideas for different developments for that?
Yeah, so the views on it are, I think, down over 90% from last year. For most people, it's not really something they're caring much about anymore. But there's a lot of people who are still caring because they're still quite vulnerable to the virus. So I want to keep it going for those people. How long it actually lasts for, I'm not sure yet. I'm thinking I'll definitely keep it going until maybe spring of next year. Then once I set off on my travels, I'm not sure if I want to, you know, be keeping up to updating it every week. So it might stop then, but it could be sooner if the government stopped releasing the data. I think we've already stopped most of it in Northern Ireland. There's just not much demand for it anymore. But it's got a few more months in it, at least.
Oh, I look forward to seeing your travel writing then, John. That's going to be exciting to see where you go next with that. And I mean, I think it's absolutely fantastic that you know, Argyll and Bute is on the map with your achievements. So we'll try and ride a little bit on your coattails. But I can't finish up without touching on the tabby part of it. So I think you talk about also having a totally rational love of cats. So tell us a little bit more about your love of cats.
Yeah, it's very rational. I've always loved cats for some reason. I think we had a few cats growing up, and I just became very attached to them. You know, I'd dress up as a cat for Halloween and have little cat ornaments around the house. I think when I got to being a teenager, I was sort of thinking, well, this isn't a cool thing to like, so I sort of scaled it back. But then eventually I realized that, you know, you like what you like, and I started embracing it a lot more again as I got older. So I had a cat for most of my life. Her name was Star. She passed away a few years ago. She was about 20 years old, so it's just old age. When I was designing the Travelling Tabby logo, I sort of designed it after how Star looked. So she's sort of living on through that, which is nice. And once I get done with my travels and sort of settle down into a house, I'm hoping to adopt a cat, or maybe four, who knows.
Oh, well said with the you love what you love. I think that's such a good approach. And I talk a lot, if people have listened, about my dogs, but I'm a secret cat lover as well. I used to have two cats called Mulder and Scully, so I'm cat and dog lover, so I can share your love of cats. So
oh, they're both great. My dad has a dog called Carter. He's a bit chaotic, but he's fun to be with.
And I love that Star lives on with Travelling Tabby. That's such a lovely way to keep the memory alive. So no, it's cats are good with me for absolute sure. So I mean, it's such a fantastic achievement. And what's your family said since all this has happened? I bet that's been quite a surprise, as you say, from 2020 of like having to change tack from travel website. That's that they must be blown away with that. And they planning a trip to the palace with you and things.
Yeah, I think they're proud. They say they're proud, as far as I know, anyway. My dad lives in the USA and he's coming over in a couple of weeks for my graduation, which is going to be exciting. I'm not sure if he'll come over again for the MBE ceremony, but if he doesn't, I'm sure I'll be able to go with my gran or my stepdad, my sisters, or whoever else wants to come. Yeah, my mum passed away back in 2014. I sort of wish she was still here, because she was the kind of mum who got overly proud of anything. You know, like, you win a small race at school and she's boasting to everyone. So it would have been fun for her to be around and see everything, but I'm sure she's still proud.
Oh, I'm sure she is. Well, we're all very proud. I know I was when it was announced, and I hadn't met you at that stage, and it was announced on the radio, and I was so pleased to see your work recognised, and I say that to be able for us to claim you as an Argyle boy, John, is really great. And were you at Dunoon Grammar?
Yeah, Dunoon Grammar. I've always lived in Dunoon. Went to college in Dunoon at Argyle UHI. Volunteer at a local Oxfam shop here. And I've only had one job, but that was at Argyle and Bute Council as well. So, very Dunoon.
Very good. And Dunoon, of course, nominated in the World's Best School Awards. So,
yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you very much. Hopefully that's given people a little insight to the face behind Travelling Tabby, and can't wait to see your travel exploits next for that. So definitely keep us posted.
Yeah, I will. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. Well done and congratulations.
Thank you.
So big thank you to John for talking to me about the blog, and a massive congratulations both on his graduation and on the award of his MBE. I hope you have a fantastic time when you finally get travelling, John. And please, if you haven't checked out John's website and blog, please keep looking at travellingtabby.com, hopefully for the travel information instead of the COVID information. Bye for now.
Pippa's Podcast.